Bonjour, ciao, and welcome back to another episode of The Rendezvous with today guest, because we have two guests today from Italy that I would actually never expect it to have, just because we started a little beef and a little war on social media last summer, and he actually made us pretty close. And today we have the chance to host one of the most popular band, but also social media stars in Italy. So please, everyone, welcome Lionfield.
Welcome, guys.
Hello, ciao, everyone. Hello. Ciao. Bonjour, maybe.
Bonjour. Bonjour. How do I say how are you in Italian?
Come state?
Come state?
Oh, it's kind of like Spanish. Okay, come state? Okay, so ciao, yeah, come state? How's my
pronunciation?
Sì. Stiamo bene, grazie. We are good. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for inviting us here. We are very happy to spend some time all together and have a little chat.
Of course, I think that we have a lot to talk about, and I'm very excited to talk about your culture, but also about all of your experiences. But first, Tim, ça va? Comment tu vas? Tranquillou?
Bah écoute, ça va, ça roule, hein, et toi?
Ça va, good. I was just making sure Tim was okay before we get started. Everything's set, so...
It's like a language. It's like we don't understand anything. I don't know. My friend like, is terrible.
Like, are they talking shit? No, we would never. Don't worry about it.
Not yet. It's too early in the podcast.
You would never know.
Too early for that. If we have to fly during the podcast, maybe we'll speak French. Who knows? So, boys, can you introduce yourself to the audience who that don't know you? Who is Lionfield?
Well, Lionfield, well, it's the two of us, Emiliano and Matteo. We are two Italians from a little town next to Rome that is called Campoleone, which translates in a lion field.
Sì.
So like a lion field is the literal translation of our small town. It's very original, I know.
You guys had no idea
where
we
were born. We're musicians. Sorry?
That's very interesting that you guys took your city, and I think it's I know the name like Campolanoa. How do you say it?
Campoleone.
Campoleone. Jesus, that was Campoleone, very far from the right the right thing. So how did you guys meet? Are you guys from the same city? Is that how you guys met?
Well, basically, Emiliano and I have been knowing each other since elementary school.
Yeah.
I moved into Emiliano's classroom in elementary school last 2 years, and somehow we had a friend in common, so we became best friends, and we did all the schools together. We did elementary school, middle school, high school, 2 years of university here in Italy.
Right.
We didn't like it, we dropped it, and then we moved to the United States, did college together, and now we're here together, still together. So this started as a friendship, and you know, we are still best friends, and making jokes on the internet.
That's amazing that you guys came from elementary school friends to today being social media star. But everybody wants to know that how did that started? Like, how did you end up starting social media? Is that what for a special goal, or were you guys making a joke on internet? What's the start?
Yeah. So well, in 2010 or 2011, we had a YouTube channel together, where we used to do like comedy skits on YouTube, like the Italian version of YouTube, and we did that for a couple of years, and the channel was getting
fairly popular.
Yeah, you know, YouTube was still a small place, but then we stopped doing it.
What did you stop?
Because we didn't understand what we were doing it. Yeah, we. I don't know why we did it. Just.
We just stopped, you know, like when you grow up, life happens. You do things and say,
yeah, say, exactly.
You don't think about it, you know.
Yeah, so we stopped. Then years, you know, like in 2015, we moved to the US to study music. We are musicians. And after college, we moved to Seattle with a band. We were starting a band. We were playing around shows, in the city. And then COVID happened. So we were stuck home, and we used to live together in Seattle. We didn't know what to do, and we opened a TikTok channel. We started making jokes on the internet,
I guess. First, we started making videos about music, you know, making composing little songs, like loops. We started with music loops on TikTok. One day,
Tim, that's
made
funny
because about Italy.
Tim, that reminds me of like everybody's success story. Like, oh, I was born, I started social media, and here I am today.
Yeah, it's literally everybody that we interviewed was like, I was bored on TikTok, and then I blew up, and it's like, wow, it's a good way of getting bored. I guess you're one of the only person that enjoyed the pandemic then.
Yeah, no, the pandemic was like obviously it's a tragedy, but like for us was an opportunity because we were stuck home.
Yeah, exactly.
And you know the situation in Seattle was not like, for example, in Italy. In Italy was I would say like more severe. Like you know, like people, you were not able to go on the street. You were not able to do anything. While in Seattle was you were a little bit more flexible, but you still had to be home, and we didn't know what to do. And
yeah,
we started
Italy was one of the worst. Italy was one of the worst. But
yeah, Italy was the
It was beautiful though because I saw a lot of videos where like people were just like on their balcony, like in between buildings, and they were like playing music and doing a bunch of stuff like. Together without being together, you know what I mean? It's like I thought that was beautiful, and like that's one of the best traits of Italy. When I talk about Italy, it's like family, you know, everybody is together and everybody is like living and enjoying everything.
Yeah, there is a big sense of community. Like family is a big thing in Italy. And during the pandemic, every day, I don't remember, like at 4 p.m. or 5.
Or
6 p.m. you had to, you know, people used to go on the out of the window or like the balcony to sing the Italian anthem.
Sí,
like
with
all
the
together.
Flags,
oh, no way. With the flags.
Very dramatic.
A bit dramatic.
A bit dramatic, to be honest. But
after a week, you know, we got tired.
It's kind of like it's the end of the world. That's funny. So how was your experience in the United States? Because you said you studied music, and that was your main reason for leaving to go to the U.S. Why the United States?
Seattle.
Yeah, why did you guys decide to go to the U.S. for music?
Man, we were looking around for a good college, a good school where we could take a degree in music. And we decided to apply for Berklee College of Music in Boston. Emiliano first did the audition 1 year before me. He got accepted, so you went first.
Yeah, I left 1 year before you.
Sí. And then after 1 year, I was like, I cannot allow my friend to be without me. So I'm going to do it too. And I got accepted. Yeah. So I moved as well to Boston.
And no, I guess because, you know, like... The like college like in the US is very expensive and you know especially as an international student so it almost seems impossible to go there and study. It's very difficult both like for like economical reason but also you know for the visas and everything. It's tough.
Immigration
stuff. But you know. It's still possible. You know, there is like with scholarships or like financial aid, you can find a way if you really want. You know, you can find a way, and we both did it. Yeah.
So, how did you guys find this scholarship? Because there's probably people watching today's episode that are wondering, like, I want to go to the U.S. to either like play sports or like do music. How did you guys find this financial aid?
Well, I think every college might be different, but like our college, we went to Berklee College of Music, and they do like a world tour audition. So they have like auditions all over the world to all the major cities. You went to Paris, right?
I went to Paris, yes.
For the audition.
Okay.
I went to Valencia, and when you go to the like for the audition, they audition you not just for the you know for becoming a student, but also like for like a scholarship. So like
if you are eligible.
Yeah, to see if you're eligible.
Scholarship.
And once you have you know once you're done with the audition, they let you know if you got a scholarship or not. And then once you get in, you can
that's exactly what I did when I left to the US. So I left to the US and people know because I played football, aka soccer for American people. At first I think I had like an 80-85% scholarship, but it was still a lot of money to pay. I think I had to pay between like $10,000 and $15,000. I got there, I tried to find more scholarship through like academics and through my GPA. So the more money I had, you know. So it's very interesting. And Tim, for you, it's different because you went to, Yeah, you went to the US and you went to one of the best school in the US and you almost had to pay full price.
Yeah, well, that's why I did Santa Monica College first, which is a community college. And it was like the best decision ever because, okay, I didn't have the full... I went to USC, University of Southern California. But,
Oh, nice.
Yeah, it's a good one, but like it's so expensive. So I went to SMC to save 2 years, and basically I didn't have to pay for 2 years. So I paid like not even half price. I had a couple scholarships and stuff during COVID and stuff. So that was good. Right. But yeah, one of the biggest thing is, you know.
Well, I guess
your living expenses.
Yeah, too. I guess you can still transfer credits, right?
Yeah, exactly. I did 2 years, and everything was. I only did 2 years at USC then.
It's a strategy that a lot of people here use is like going to JUCO, aka community college, to spend less money and then have better grades and then go to like very good schools, especially in like Los Angeles area because all the big schools are so expensive. So like UCLA, USC, or like Berkeley, all those schools are so expensive and so like everybody wants to go there that when you straight out of high school, you need very good grades to go there and get scholarships. So that's why like community college is the best option. So I'm glad you guys went to Boston. How was the experience in Massachusetts, if I'm not wrong?
Yeah.
We loved it.
I could see two Italians freezing their asses off in Boston in the winter, be like, what does the fuck?
Yeah. There's so many Italians in Boston.
But also... How cold was Boston in the winter? Yeah, Do you want to talk about it? It's freezing.
It was freezing.
Yes.
What is one thing that you guys really, really loved about Massachusetts? Is there one thing that you guys are missing from there or not really?
I mean, I guess, the thing that that I miss the most, but it's not specifically about Massachusetts, but it's more like about that lifestyle, you know, like in the US. Yeah. It was like the energy that you have like from people.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, like it's been now two years that we live in Italy, and I mean it's great, but we live in a small town, and you know you always see the same people, and there is not much, you know,
it's not as exciting
going on. Well, exactly. Why, like, I remember like in Boston there was always something going on. There was always like energy from people, you know, something everyone was trying to make it, you know what I mean? Like, you know, it was just
It's just the US. The US is very entrepreneurial, and especially Boston, like you have Harvard, you have MIT, you have Boston University, you have Berkeley, like you have all the big colleges, like everybody is young, driven, and then, you know, you obviously are very entrepreneurial as well, like you want to make it, and like everybody is like that. So that's Italy and France in France in that regard is the same. Like, they're not entrepreneurial at all. It's like I work 35 hours a week and then, you know, leave me alone.
It's very interesting because obviously when you come to the US you discover a new way of like doing business, and especially here people trust the youth way more than in Europe. I feel like when you're like 22, 23, it's very hard to like get there. You have to like go step by step and like start working for a company and then like making it to a certain point where, okay, now I can do my own business and create my own company, which in the US there's no limit. You can be like 18 and have your own company and hire people. And that would lead to my question, because you guys said you left the United States during the pandemic, like before the pandemic, right?
After the pandemic.
So you guys left after the pandemic, so in 2020. Do you think that being in the United States, helped you create that platform that you guys have today, Lionfield?
Yes, I think so. Yes. Because it started all like a joke, you know, making fun of our own culture, of Italian stereotypes. And I think it resonated a lot with, you know, with people in the United States.
Yeah, because, you know, when, you know, we lived in the US for 5 years and we realized how many stereotypes there were, like there of Italians, you know. Yes. And how fun that was, to be honest, because, you know, I always found it very, very fun, you know, the way they were portraying us, you know, speaking with the accent, with the hands.
Hey,
because there is some truth, you know, like, there is some truth. So, like, we were like, okay, let's get that, like, you know, let's grab all these stereotypes and let's make fun of that.
So, I feel like you guys... and Tim and Tom and myself, we've kind of like realized that being like French or Italian was way more than just being from a different country where you're in the United States. For them, it's like so different and so unique that, like, for you moving your hand, it's probably so normal for Italian people. But for American, for like people from the US, like when they see this, they're like, what does that mean? Like, it's so funny to them. It's like me. When I laugh for the first time in the US, I laugh like a normal way. And people were like, oh, I thought French people was laughing like this. Ho, ho, ho. Like, what? Like,
that's the biggest fear. I don't know where that comes from. Yeah.
Yeah, it's so many...
I never heard that.
Yeah, it's so many stereotypes about, like, Europeans that when I feel like I came here, I was like, I need to create an account and I need to share my culture. Yeah. And that this is why, like, today I feel like we're on the podcast, because we have so much to share about our own countries. Mm. And do you guys feel like now you're, like, kind of like the ambassador of the Italian culture around the world?
Well, I think we are trying to bring, you know, like our culture and our country on the internet. That's one of the goals that we have. And, you know, TikTok is great for that, because, you know, basically every day you can make a skit about that. You can make create content around this idea, because I don't know, like, I feel like Italians, I don't know about France, but, like, in Italy we don't speak English, like, you know, like,
I mean,
like,
it's not common,
it's not very common, right? No. Maybe now young people, yes, you know, they speak English, but in general, you know, everything is in Italian. And even, you know, when people go online, they you know, they watch and then they follow people, just like, you know, like
they
in
miss
Italian.
So much stuff, because it's all in Italian. Or,
so, you know. Like, the idea was to bring, you know, this Italian culture in English, so everyone can know and understand a little bit, you know, like our culture that is so rich, and, you know, we love it, you know, like our both of our moms are teachers, like, you know, Italian teachers in here in Italy. So, like, we feel like
they teach Italian.
It's in our blood to teach others,
to spread the knowledge. Yes, and, I don't know.
Yeah, you know, we are big, like, history fan. You know, like, we love history. You know, we live in basically in Rome, and it's so rich, the history here, that really, like, it's worth, you know, letting other, you know, about.
So you guys are raising, you guys are like raising awareness. So, like, you guys are like letting people know of what the actual Italian culture is. It's just way more than eating pasta or pizza or just moving hands like this, you know?
I mean, we do that. We love pasta. We love pizza. We move.
Do you actually speak like this all the time?
You know, I'm fine with that.
Do you actually do this when you speak to people? You're like,
what? Yeah, I think there are, well, not joking, I think there are more than 250 official gestures in Italy.
With the hands. I believe
250. It's part of the culture. No, no one, you know, like, it becomes, you don't even think about it. You know, it's like when you write, you have like a comma and then you have a period, you know, it's like the same thing. You know, use your hands for that.
It's so funny that since we started this episode, you guys didn't move anything. We are always moving the hands since the beginning. We are doing all these things with the hands.
Yeah, I feel like I'm getting punched in the head.
Yeah.
Sometimes it happens, you know, like,
we move so
when you guys
much.
Talk, no, you don't listen like to the words, you just look at the hands. You're like, okay, that's what he's saying. It's, it's like the sign language subtitled.
Exactly, they have their own, like, sign language. That is the Italian sign language. They if you're born, if you're literally born deaf, like in Italy, you're fine, because they already speak with their hands. So that's good.
You can you can convey like a message just with the hands, you know, like there is no need to speak sometimes, because you know, you just it's like obviously, you know, you cannot have like, you know, a complex, you know,
you cannot have a conversation
like or a complex discussion, but like you can deliver a message by moving your hands. And
I
if something is good, you're eating like a good food, you do like it's good food. If you want to leave, or like you are asking to someone to leave, you just do this.
And so what kind of sign would what kind of sign would you do if you see someone like cutting their pasta?
We cannot do that in front of a camera. We would get banned from this podcast.
You gotta keep it PG. You can't ask these kind of questions.
is there a reason why, like, you guys cannot cut your pasta? Because do you not think it's easier to eat them cutting them? What's the thing? I need to know the truth behind that.
If you want like a cut, you know, cut spaghetti, you buy. I think they sell like
get another shape.
Why did you buy spaghetti if you
spaghetti
want them cut?
Spaghetti are meant to be weird. Why do you have to cut
like
them?
Pasta shapes are. You know, they're not just random. You know, every shape, you know, it's because can contain the sauce in a different way. So depending on the sauce, you will you can have different shapes of pasta because
with
it's
different
just
texture.
Yeah,
well,
because it's just better, you know, for the sauce.
See.
And the spaghetti are meant to be long and just be, you know, like twirled. You know, that's how you do it.
We have like a pasta called coquillette. Mm-hmm. Those are like really, really small ones that are like the shape of a moon.
It's like small macaronis.
And every time I eat them, I feel it's just so much better than, like, for example, like spaghetti. But at the end, it's like same taste.
No, Alex, don't say
that. We were friends before, Alex.
Friends, we started so well.
Die. It was everything going fine. Now why saying that? There was no need. There was no need. I'm sorry.
All right. Hands down. All right, my bad. Never mind. It was a bad joke.
When I was a kid, I used to eat pastas. There was like, it was like the alphabet, and like I used to like take them out of my plate and like make words with them.
Oh yes,
I was the best thing ever.
Probably Italian people learn how to like speak with their pasta and their letters and their pasta.
Yeah.
Who knows?
They go ciao.
That's how we do in school, elementary school. First, you know, first lesson is
the alphabet with the pasta.
But first, you learn the pasta and then the alphabet. You know, priorities
the pasta
first.
So
that's very interesting, and like I love that. But is there any other thing that like people should know before going to Italy? So like not cutting their pasta. Is there any other things? So for example, like pineapple on pizza or like anything else.
What are the biggest no's when you go to Italy? Like, what are the things that you absolutely have to avoid when you go to Italy?
One of the big no's would be pineapple pizza. It's not an item you would find.
But you don't find it. For example, like, I mean, there are like some big no's, like, you know, the cappuccino after lunch. It's not like
chicken Alfredo. Big no.
I love chicken Alfredo. Oh my God.
No, beh, dai, ma qua stiamo proprio degenerando. Ma come ci cade?
I can understand Alfredo. You know, Alfredo sauce is good. You know, it's it is what it is. But
vabbè, scusa,
it's
butter with pasta. Ma tenete a parlare.
It's very easy. It's very simple.
You know that Alfredo pasta in Italy, it's famous in the hospital. When you go in the hospital, you know they have food for you, and they give you that because basically you are not eating anything.
It's easy to eat.
It's water and butter. Dai, guarda, big nose. Well, we did a video once where we said we explained a very interesting rule. Like, it's according to the law in Italy, you cannot go around shirtless.
Wow.
So like, you know, like in the US, especially in LA, people run
shirtless.
Yeah, they do,
especially in LA.
Right? Yeah, technically in Italy it's illegal.
Unless you're very close to the beach.
Yeah,
you know.
I think it's the same in Paris, Tim. I've never seen someone running shirtless in Paris. Did you?
Yeah, no, it's definitely not coming.
Yeah, we're not big enough in Paris. We're pretty skinny, so we're just gonna keep our shirts on. It's just better for everybody.
Ever in LA, everyone is like so many muscles. So
everyone is.
Oh
so
my God! Like, you go to, and Tim lives right by Venice Beach, which is like a beach like right by in the Los Angeles area, and everybody is so big there. You would never want to be by these guys.
Because like in the US, aren't they obsessed with protein? I remember every time I went to the store, every product would explain how many proteins they had inside.
They even have pasta with proteins.
Pasta with proteins.
With extra proteins.
Right.
You gotta bulk up. You gotta get muscles. That's why they're taking it to the next level.
Exactly. Here we have pizza. That's the problem. Pizza doesn't have the muscles.
The craziest thing for me here is people eating pizza with ranch. I don't know if you guys have ranch sauce in Italy.
No, we don't. We don't know the existence.
Yeah,
of ranch
it's so bad.
God.
No, we don't do it. You know, like when you go. When you go to a pizza place by the slice in the US, they also give you the chance to put extra Parmesan cheese, extra chili peppers. Spicy oil, oregano. You don't do that here in Italy. You get the pizza. It's a work of art. It's meant to be like that. You eat it like that. You don't bother the pizza guy for other toppings.
No. You cannot add your own toppings like on top of pizza.
Because you ruin the experience. No, you ruin, but you make it different.
The pizzaiolo is going to cry in front of you if you start putting Parmesan on the pizza. Literally, is going to cry.
So I feel like the relationship between Italy and the US is a lot based on like the food and like how they like mixed up the way you guys eat food. But I think that like one of the biggest, I feel like, rivalry and like relationship, kind of like their love and hate relationship, is between France and Italy. Why do you guys think France and Italy has such a like a love? We love each other because we're actually so similar. But we also hate each other in like some. Yeah. We're always in competition. Yeah. Why do you think that?
Because we are like cousins, you know. Yeah. We are like family.
Yeah.
With family,
we
there
are
is
like
family.
Exactly. We're like cousins. But I feel like everything started for me, and I'm still like traumatized by that. Like I still have nightmares of that. I'm born in 2000, so I was 6 years old when we lost the World Cup final against Italy. And I saw my 6 years old self, so Materazzi insulting Zidane, and then Zidane like knocking him down with his head. And then we lost, and I was like, wow, like I hate Italy. Like I don't like Italians. Like I was a kid, you know. So like when I was at school, I remember that I was telling my friend if you're Italian, I don't want to be friend with you because we're not world champion because of you guys. But I think that's
we made
started.
It up.
What
the
do
last
you guys remember? We did, yeah, we did.
I remember that. I remember that match. Yes, everyone in Italy remembers that match. Yes, it was. One of the greatest night I've ever been to, I've ever experienced.
I think it was a life-changing experience.
Yeah.
So.
Italy went crazy that night. You know, went because you know you're right. You know, like there is always like this rivalry.
I think so. Yeah, rivalry.
Rivalry. Between Italy and France, because you know we are so similar. Even the culture, you know, it's similar.
Very close,
you know,
yeah,
our history
sure.
is very rich. Right, very very close, and you know we like to poke each other and to compete. That's the truth, which I think it's beautiful. You know, I love it because it's literally like we are from the same family, and obviously, you know, we love each other, but at the same time, again, like we compete.
Like you
want to
be the better brother,
the best wine,
See,
the best history,
the best.
That's exactly what you guys did on social media when you had like literally like the World War III when you guys were fighting other countries. So like for example like France, Germany. It's so funny how you guys made it seems like it's a war, but it's a friendly war where at the end of the day we're joking and we're like we know we appreciate each other. Do you guys sometimes like feel bad for like doing these videos or you guys understand that there's a certain degree of like humor behind that?
No, actually, we're always trying to think about ways to be more creative and more fun, to make it more fun. No, we love it because, you know, we are joking with culture. And I think, especially with the big ones, like I think my favorite one is the one with France when we went to
when
Paris.
When we went to Paris, we flew to Paris for an epic revenge.
We went to the...
They broke the baguette in front of the Colosseum. I saw that one.
exactly. We went to Paris just for 18 hours.
See,
one thing that's beautiful between the two cultures and the way you guys joke is that you use second degree, you know, it's like everything you do has to be taken lightly. It's not like nothing is serious. It's all about just like just having fun. And it's like it's something that we sometimes lose, at least when I live in LA. It's like nothing, like everything cannot be serious. You have to like just joke about it, you know. And like that's, you guys do it beautifully. That's why like we love your, everybody loves your videos. It's like
You can say, Tim, we love you guys.
Thank
you. We love you. We're family.
That, you know, again, like, it's beautiful how, you know, even with those like little videos, you know, where we just, you know, take a traditional, you know, French food and we destroyed it in front of a camera, you know. It's just, you know, you're still talking about the culture. So, you know, in a way, you're also still teaching to others, you know, that the baguette, you know, it's like
something about
you know, it's still
culture.
So yeah, it's second degree. Yeah, you know, at the end of the day, you know, we're content creators. We're here to make content. We're not here to like hurt people. We're trying to make people laugh more than anything else. It's like humorous. You know, they make jokes. Sometimes people like the joke. Sometimes they don't like the joke. At the end of the day, it's a job. You know, you accept it or not. Yeah. But you guys went to Paris, and it's a debate that a lot of people have between the two countries. France and Italy. Who do you think should be the owner of the Mona Lisa?
Alex, you said you like to poke us, but Alex is poking you a lot.
okay, good. I like that. The truth is this one, that Italians. I don't know how I would feel, you know, with us, you know, with the Mona Lisa, just because, you know, it's very safe, like in the Louvre, like, you know, they take like, you know, great care of it. It's just the way they handle it with safety.
You guys are taking good care of it.
Yeah. So, I mean, at the end, you know, there is nothing that we, you know, that anyone can do, you know, like Da Vinci, like, you know, left it
The debate, so, and what people think in France is that there's that's not my opinion. That's what most people think, is that there's a difference between the artist and the art. So, for example, a lot of people in France think like the art was made in France and was like exposed in France and in a French museum. So the art itself, it's French. You know, the artist can be Italian, but the art is French. I don't obviously agree with that. I understand why Italian people are mad, because it's a huge pride. Like De Vinci is such an amazing artist that you probably should think that like all his art should belong to Italy. But again, you know, France is very proud, and we're very thankful to Italians and to De Vinci for offering, you know, such an amazing piece of art in the Louvre. So thank you guys for not stealing it. I appreciate it.
Not yet. We're still planning it, but
Alex. Can I tell you one thing? When we went to Paris to film that video, Italy versus France, we went to the Louvre to film a scene in front of the Mona Lisa. Oh, it's impossible to find that
really?
Painting. We spent 1 hour going around.
Yeah,
got lost.
The Louvre is huge.
The Louvre is huge.
It's honestly, I think, it's the biggest museum in France. The Louvre. And what's the craziest thing is that you can't even get very close to the Mona Lisa. Like the distance to like see it, it's insane. And I think months ago, someone threw food at the Mona Lisa.
Yeah,
so this was very bad, very disrespectful. Yeah. And I think that we can both agree that I hope that person is definitely in jail right now, because that shouldn't.
That was just awful. But you know. At the end of the day, I don't know, like the Louvre is
it's the most visited museum in the world.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Another thing we're both very similar, and I think like Tim would agree with that, is fashion. I feel like fashion, Italian fashion is French fashion, is very different, but also very similar, where we have a lot of designers. And for example, like the Fashion Week happens like every year in Milano and Paris. I should say Paris.
Please.
For example, we have Louis Vuitton, we have Chanel, Dior, you guys have Armani, you know, like
Prada.
Gucci. How would you pronounce those brands in Italian?
Gucci, Versace. Armani was good, actually.
He had a good pronunciation.
I want to pronounce Louis Vuitton. Wait, say one more time.
Louis
Vuitton.
Vuitton.
Louis.
So you have
possible part.
Vuitton.
Tim, do you say Louis Vuitton or do you say Louis Vuitton?
No, I don't pronounce the U. It's Louis Vuitton.
That's why. Like, I don't know about time, the French language, it's so tricky. Like, literally, we have so many letters that we don't pronounce. So, like,
I don't think anyone knows how it's spelled, like, how it's pronounced, actually. I hear both every time. It's like Vuitton, Vuitton. I just say LV, man. It's like.
Yeah, just say LV. That's fine. Just break it down. But to go back on the fashion part, and like Matteo Emiliano, you guys will tell me if I'm wrong. Yeah. French men and Italian men. I'm gonna sound very cocky, so be ready. We're like very fantasized. We're like, oh wow, they're so elegant. They're so romantic. I want to marry an Italian man. I want a French man. Why do you think this is such a big thing? What do you think people like look at us as like the perfect example of like the perfect man?
That's a great question. Well, I think you know, the clothing and the way people dress is a big thing. Like, for example, I don't know, like in Italy, I don't know about France, but like in Italy, people like dress up even like for non special occasions. You know, you go out to the store to buy.
You go to the mall.
If you have to go to the mall, right? You dress nicely. I mean, we don't, to be honest. Usually,
we try our best.
Yeah, we try our best. But usually, people, you know, dress nicely in any occasions. While, for example, I remember in the U.S. Was not rare to see people in pyjamas, like around the city.
Getting groceries, or like even in class.
In class, I remember
flip flops.
Yeah.
What I love about that is that we have a saying in French called. We have a saying in French saying c'est la vie. And it's so funny because c'est la vie just means like this is life, just go with the flow. But also at the same time, we're always overthinking the way we dress. We always trying to look good, always try to look classy. So it's not really the c'est la vie type of vibe where in the US you can wear like Crocs and pajama and then you're fine and you can go around the city. So I think it's a very good, like, you know, I don't know how to say that. And I always, every time I'm saying something and I forget it, that gets me mad during the podcast. So I guess I'll go to the next one. But the love and hate between the two countries is huge. And team, I'm sure you would agree on that as well, is that we share so many things. So for example, like the Mont Blanc, the Monte Blanco, you know, you guys go skiing at the same place as we do. We go skiing at the Mont Blanc. You guys do too. We have the croissant. Yeah. You guys have the cornetto.
Which one is? I mean, I love croissant. First of all, the way you say croissant is perfect.
How would you say it?
I want to learn that. The way I say it is croissant. But it's weird. I never say that. No, it's a croissant. I say croissant.
Okay, so I'll give you. So you got to start with croissant. Croix, and then son.
Croissant. Croissant.
Like it has to sound nasal.
Croissant.
That's close enough. No, that's very, very good. Close enough. You guys get there. The more you say it, the better you're going to get. Croissant. But what do you think is better, the cornetto or the croissant?
But do you know that we often argue about this?
Because I love it's my favorite food in the world. It's a cornetto or croissant.
Oh, that's so funny. Yeah. Emiliano's favorite food is the croissant.
It's good. I love it. I just love it. Okay. I'm going to share something which is not interesting. I want to share it. Once I went to Paris with my family. And for a series of reasons, I ended up eating in the morning 14 croissants. 14. That's my personal record. 14. I'm very proud of that.
Were these the mini ones or the big ones?
14. And with
butter, I mean. Oh my God.
The big ones. No, the regular ones. Regular croissants. 14. Guarda, it's not a joke. I'm not lying.
As you can understand, we are good forks here.
No, però I love. Guarda, if I have to pick my favorite one, I think would be a croissant. But you have to find like a good one. In Italy, for example, it's hard. Like yesterday, we filmed a vlog on Starbucks. There is a Starbucks that they just opened here in Rome, and it's the second Starbucks in Italy. So we went to try it. And we bought a croissant.
Thanks for trying.
It was. But it was horrible. It was horrible. It was so bad. It was almost a plastic.
But
so.
then,
croissants and cornetti, I think they are different.
Yeah.
I prefer the cornetto. But, you know, when you get a good croissant, that it's just
so amazing. Other than the cornetto and the croissant, we already, we all have so many other similarities. And the main one is our languages. Like, Italian and French are so close to each other as a point where lexical similarities are at 89%. So, for example, how would you say bad in Italian? Male. And
male.
No, no yeah, yeah, male. So, no, male for us to say bad in French, you would say mal.
Male.
You know? So you guys would say male.
Okay, okay.
You would say male, and I would say mal. Another one, how would you say, for example, like appetite?
Okay.
Appetito.
Appetit. Yeah, it's the same.
So and even like words, we have like verbs, like so many same verbs. Like, for example, to take, how would say to take?
Prendere.
Prendere, and you would say prendre. Prendre.
Prendre. Sounds fancier in French. French always sounds fancier. Like you are, you know, you know what I mean. You are a bit. You know what I mean? You want to be cool because you have the... No, it's not prendere, it's a ponder.
I want to end today's episode by, as with something we always do, is teach you guys French and teach the audience French. We're going to go on a little French 101, and we're going to teach you how to order breakfast in French.
Nice. All right. Love that.
French 101. Let's go.
How about
omelette?
That?
That's for breakfast.
Omelette. I promise you that he probably knows more about French food than actual French people. He's been saying like all the food, like croissant, pain au chocolat, omelette.
He has been studying.
If you want to say
the only thing that I know, because I didn't study French, so I only know basically this, all the food.
You can't admit it if you think French food is better than Italian. I won't get mad, okay?
That's the big topic. That's the big fight. That's the big fight. I don't know. Okay, before we do everything,
this would need an entire podcast,
Alex,
a second episode.
Alex, I have a question. Allora, Ratatouille. Oh, we all watched the movie Ratatouille with the rest. No, aspetta, wait. Ratatouille.
We did.
Okay?
Yeah.
We hate the movie. We love Remy. Okay?
Such a beautiful
movie. Però,
Remy is a good friend.
We have, you know, a movie about food, and you said it in Paris. Cioè, ma scusa, but the rat has to be Italian. Ma che c'entra Parigi? Ma no, lo sta inventando. Scusa, ma dai, the only movie about food that Disney make is in Paris. Ma l'ha presa in giro, scusa, ma fallo da Napoli con la pizza.
But because, Emilia, for some people, French food is actually the best one, so you have to take it.
I wanted the answer by Alex, from Alex, not from you.
No. And you know what? I love Italian food, like the bruschetta, the bruschetta. And you know, like, Italian food and French food are very different in a way where I feel like French food is very, very, very classy. Like, for example, like filet mignon, you know, like all of like this type of food. So like bœuf bourguignon. It's way more like sophisticated, where like people in the US or like other places in the world, they think like pasta and pizza, like it's the best in the world because obviously everyone like pasta and pizza. Like, for example, in France, we eat like snails and frogs, you know? So it's very different, but I personally, my favorite dessert is tiramisu. So
we saw the video where you destroyed it. We saw the video where you destroyed the tiramisu. We remember that, Alex. We remember that.
All right. So now let me teach you some French. Okay.
Okay.
So let's say that you're grabbing breakfast with your friends. You're in Paris. It's the morning. You're a little tired. You don't remember a lot of your French. We're here to help you. Okay. So if you want to say, do you serve breakfast? Okay. You say, servez-vous le petit déjeuner. Try to say it. Servez-vous le petit déjeuner.
La petit déjeuner. Ce l'ho. Ma perché ridi, scusa? Servez-vous la petit déjeuner. Oh, so I was born in Paris. Ce l'ho. Vai.
That was good. That was good. You can put it with your hand. Servez-vous le petit déjeuner.
You can try to do it.
Servez-vous le petit déjeuner.
That was good. That was very good.
Why didn't he say that's good with that face when I said it? Only when
that was implied.
Why? Why only you? No. I was so excited about your pronunciation. What's up? What did I? Am I missing something? You know?
Okay. No. You did it right. You just have a little thicker Italian accent, which is it makes it even more romantic. You know. That's okay. I'm trying to save myself. All right, let's do another one. So let's try to ask for like an espresso or an espresso with milk. We're going to learn how to say, can I have an espresso with milk and tap water? It's not going to be as long as it sounds. All right. So you're going to ask, you're going to say puis-je first.
Puis-je.
Okay. Puis-je. And then avoir. So puis-je avoir.
Ah, puis-je is please. No.
The crickets. Crickets.
No, it's a
Prige. Please.
I guess Prige. It's not. Okay.
Prige is can I? Can I? Like, can I have? So, Prige avoir.
Prige avoir.
Okay, Prige avoir. Okay. And then you would say, une noisette.
Une noisette.
Une noisette.
Okay, so puis-je avoir une noisette avec avec une carafe d'eau.
All right. When we start laughing, we have to take a break. Okay, bye. One more time.
So we're gonna have one person saying one half and the other one saying the other half. So we can help each other. How about that?
All right.
So the first one is
the first one.
So puis-je avoir une noisette?
Puis-je avoir une noisette? Però Alex, invest on a blackboard here so we can read it.
Invest on a
blackboard. We can read it. Ve lo dico così. We have to pick up the sound in a second. Allora.
But that's the challenge.
One more time, slowly.
Bye.
So, puis-je avoir une noisette?
Puis-je avoir une noisette?
That was good. Une noisette. Okay. So this is like an espresso with milk. So coffee with milk. Right. Une noisette. And then, all right, your turn now. Avec une carafe d'eau.
There
you go.
I'm not gonna say what. I had five different words. Priesha, Awa, Musette, qua, lui, one word. Caraf, Deo. Excuse.
We are getting loud.
See? No, you guys did great. I'm not gonna say one is better than another one, but you guys did great.
We both did equally great.
No, but that's great. So, well, now tell Emiliano, like, next time you guys are going to Paris to steal the Mona Lisa, at least you can order breakfast with style. You know,
we'll do.
So I will
say please. Now I know that my favorite word will be please from now on.
Puis-je avoir la Mona Lisa, s'il vous plaît.
Puis-je avoir la Mona Lisa, s'il vous plaît? There you go.
So they can bring us to jail while smiling.
Yeah. At least I said it right.
That's great. Well, thank you guys so much for coming on the podcast. It was such a pleasure to have you. You guys are such good energy, good vibe, good mood, always smiling. Is there anything you guys would like to add before we close today's episode?
No, I mean,
I want to sing the Italian anthem.
You can't, you guys.
That would be so cringe. Oddio, però would be the best ending ever. A cappella, the Italian anthem, 3 minutes. You know, standing here.
All right, now that you guys said it, you have to sing it a little bit.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Give us a little something.
Dai.
Fratelli d'Italia, l'Italia se desta, che nel municipio se cinta la testa, dov'è la vittoria, le borga la chioma, che schiava di Roma, Dio la creò. Boom, basta.
Facciamo qua, se no.
Woo, that's great.
We're doing the tenors.
It sounds
we didn't expect we were, his request.
Why do I feel like you do this every single day?
Delete this part. Cut it. Magic. Do the magic editing. Yeah.
it sounds happier than our national anthem. All right. Awesome. Well, if we want to follow Linefield on social media, can you guys please at least share your social media? Is it only Linefield on every like YouTube, TikTok, Instagram, Twitch?
You guys can find us pretty much with the handle Linefield Music, but on YouTube we are only Linefield.
So. But if you type Linefield, I think you can you can find us everywhere. Yeah.
You guys better don't forget about us. All right. Merci beaucoup. Thank you. Thank you, les gars. And Tim, thank you for coming and hanging out in the camper.
Oh yeah.
Today.
Oh yeah.
It was a big journey and a big adventure, but yeah, we'll see you soon in another episode of The Rendezvous. So please take care and make sure to tune in for the next episode. Bye bye.
Ciao, ciao.
Thank you guys. Ciao.
Ciao.